I remember parking on somebody's front lawn by the old Sportsman's Park, and I don't know, it was 25 cents or 50 cents. And one of the very unfortunate things I remember is that black people had to sit in the right field stands because they were segregated. But of course, at my young age, I really didn't think much of it. And of course, it was just a different game then. I remember when Stan Musial became the first $100,000 ball player only because Ted Williams had been given $100,000. I'm sure Augie hated to do that. And a little later down the road, I remember when he wouldn't give Steve Carlton $30,000, and they traded him, and he became the best pitcher in baseball for many years.
You know, just as an aside, you just reminded me, I was with Steve Carlton when he got the phone call from Philadelphia during this whole process. He was leaving the Cardinals, and I was interviewing him at the time, and the phone rang, and it was the Philadelphia Phillies saying, "Steve, we want you." That was quite a moment for me and certainly for him.
And what a moment for St. Louis to lose a pitcher with that type of potential for the next 10 years.
Over $10,000, I think it was. It was a relatively small
really,
amount.
Really, I heard it was even less than I'm sure you're right.
It might have been. Let's get back to the 40s. You were very young. You were 10 years old in 1946, the era in which we're talking mm-hmm. about, the year that we're talking about. Do you remember losing those players during the war when they were absent, or were you too young for that?
No, I was too young. I remember hearing about Pete Gray, I believe his name was, the one-arm player for the Browns. I was a member of the Knothole Gang in those days. I loved the Browns. I hated the Cardinals because the Cardinals always won. I remember coming out of a game. I think the Browns had just added Phil Rizzuto as their shortstop from the Yankees. And it was very early in the season, of course, with the Browns. And they had just moved into first place. And I walked out, and the Globe Democrat had the headline saying, Fred Cy indicted for tax evasion. And I thought, what a wonderful day. You know?
Do you remember the 46 series?
Not really. I mean, it seems like I've lived with the 46 series because of this poem, but I really don't remember much of it.
Well, tell me about this poem and how all this came about and your association with it.
My parents were in New Orleans. When they came back, I guess they thought I liked reading poems or memorizing them. And at the age of 10, like so many kids, I was pretty much of a sponge. Whatever I read or memorized, I can remember 60-some years later. Of course, if you ask me about my kids' birthdays or anniversary, that I couldn't remember. But from 67 years ago, yeah, that I remember.
Are you called upon to recite this poem frequently?
No, I'm not. And the crazy thing of it is I have a class at what we call Lifelong Learning Center. It's for older adults. And it ranges in courses from anything that you wanted to take in high school and college and never were able to. And it's sponsored by Washington University. And it's at the old Famous and Barr building. Anyway, I had a class on economics, which is a fascinating class. And before the class started, I said to the class as a special treat, I would, because of the time of year, I'd like to recite a poem to you. And they loved it, and they applauded, and it was fun.
I think what we have to do now is not keep people in suspense, but have you recite that poem. And I'll tell our audience that you're not reading it. You're reciting it from memory, as you said, 67 years later.
It looked extremely rocky for the Redbird team that day. The series stood 3 games apiece. 1 game remained to play. The fans of old St. Louis had the jitters as they sat and worried every time the mighty Williams came to bat. They feared the wiles of Cronin, who was cultured through and through, and ran his team like coaches of old Harvard College do. For instance, to his hurlers he would speak in accent tones, "Proceed out to the mounds, my lad," and hurl with vehemence. Or to a batter he would say, "'Tis time to navigate, and pound with cruel violence your bat upon the plate. And when the spheroid reaches you and with prodigious might propel the leather apple like a rocket in its flight. And so the afternoon wore on until they reached the eighth. The fans of old St. Louis put God in their faith. The score was tied at 3 apiece and Slaughter was at bat. And Cronin strolled out to the mound to linger for a chat. In Harvard tones, he spoke to Bob, for Joe was Boston bred. Just speed one at his cranium in, he'll drop dead. And then the leather-covered sphere came hurling through the air, and Slaughter met it squarely, and it sailed to center fair. And from the glad-eyed multitudes came up a joyous yell. It rumbled in the mountaintops, it rattled in the dell. It struck upon the hillside, it rebounded in the flats. And everyone was wondering what Joe would say to that. But soon you might believe the worst, for two men were out. But Walker of St. Louis caused the mighty crowd to shout. He looped a Texas leaguer, and John Pesky turned his back. And Slaughter started off from first to reach the second sack. And Pesky then received the ball and should have thrown to third. For Slaughter then was running with the fleetness of a bird. And Cronin rushed out to the mound as though shot from a gun and glared at Pesky, who was watching Slaughter on the run. His Harvard accent rose. His words were heard by all. Pesky, 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 for gosh sakes, throw the ball. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The bands are playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children call. But there is no joy in Boston since Pesky held the ball.
Reference to the famous play in which Enos Slaughter scored from first base on a single.
Of course.
Well, yeah. I have to say that was a great job that you did.
Well, thank you.
But I also have to say that some of these lines were lifted directly from Casey at the Bat.
Oh, sure, sure. I think they even gave credit in the article to Casey at the Bat.
Sure they did. Well, congratulations, Artie. You really did a nice job on
that. Well,
thank you. And even more to the point, congratulations on having the kind of memory that can retain something like that after 67 years.
Well, you know, it is amazing how you do retain things from your childhood. And as we get older, it's harder, at least for me, it's harder and harder to remember things. I find I have to write a great deal more down than I did years ago.